The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One present the NAWC. For nearly a decade, the wrestling podcast of record, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sponsored this week by the following.
July 19th truly is a milestone for WWE, since we've announced that SmackDown is going live Tuesdays on the USA Network.
You little smug shit. Wipe that stupid ego grin off your face.
Get this piece of trash out of my office right now. Get her out of here.
What the? What are you doing?
I want to see her.
Let go of me.
Get that piece of garbage out of here.
Come on.
Stop. You are going nuts. You're the last of me.
What's going on?
Down, Sarge.
Be a hero.
Sarge.
Come on.
Get out of here.
Let's go.
Sarge.
Maybe that'll be the final nail in TNA's coffin. They are just so hard to finish off. Not that I want to see them die, but it might be a mercy killing at this point. Let's keep it all together here at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and tonight around the table we will start with someone who's technically a hot mess, VRM.
Okay.
What the hell happened last week, by the way?
What do you expect when you have muffins? When you have muffins involved, anything can happen. I got about five machines alone, the base computers alone that I need to replace the hard drives on. I have another two that had fried motherboards with all the feathers in them.
Feathers.
Let's try to think what else would happen. I had two blown switches. I had to destroy the tech budget just to replace all the stuff that was muffined up and chocolated up. And on top of that, I still haven't been able to recover any of the data from the hard drive of the soundboard equipment. So I've got half a studio that's still in repair.
Well, take your time on it. You know, we're up and running. That's all that matters. But yeah, someone who was inquiring about the mess and probably going to say, serves me right for allowing ponies in the building, Jim Williams.
Serves you right for having ponies in the building, Nikki, especially Derpy. I mean, look, you know, we all love Derpy around here, but he just doesn't know what goes wrong. By the way, also of note, a question, we have a tech budget?
We have something of a tech budget. And
since when?
If we had told you, you'd have your hands in it.
Since when have we had any budget on this network? We're operating in the nothing. But that will change if you go to SpectrumOne.net and purchase from our Amazon link. Smirk.
And somebody who will cover the legal wrangling on that, Jason Block.
And believe it or not, with all the news we have this week, there is some legal stuff in here. And the Hogan trial has taken a very interesting turn.
Indeed.
I mean, all joking aside, we have found out who his money mark is.
And it's and a notable name.
And it's a very notable name. Can I quickly – I don't want to talk too long. May I quickly – talk about it. It's like 2 minutes, not even.
Okay? Yeah, let's get that out of the way. Then we can get into the real meat and potatoes.
Right. Okay. So this week, Gawker tried to get the judgment taken away, and the judge basically said, "Thank you, fuck you, bye." Okay. Hogan's still getting the $140 million, and Hogan is suing for the second trial. So that's good. But there's a story that has come out this week that Hogan has been bankrolled on his legal fees by a guy by the name of Peter Thiel. Mm. Now, you may not know who Peter Thiel is, but you use his service. He co-created PayPal, okay? Mm-hmm. So what happens is that the reason why he is bankrolling Hogan is because Gawker in 2008 outed him without his knowledge and without him wanting to be outed necessarily. Mm-hmm. So he is using his massive fortune, including, I believe, about $10 million so far, to bankroll Hogan's legal fields to take Hogan down.
Take Gawker down.
Yeah, take Gawker down. Excuse me. Yeah, very interesting stuff.
This is Gawker. This is a leg. This is Gawker without a leg to stand on. Any questions?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, Gawker is going to go down in even brighter flames than the smoldering mess that is what is left of TNA. But that's neither here nor there. We had a pay-per-view. I want to go through this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do recaps, of course, but there's a couple things we do need to talk about.
Okay.
There are a couple of things really stuck out for me, and I'm going to use that pun intentionally because of the Asylum match.
Yes. Wow.
We need to get the guardrail ready.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we have somebody who is here, or there.
Some buddies.
Actually, I'm sorry, half the table was there. So, gentlemen.
Hold on, this requires me to change chairs.
Oh, that's right.
You lucky bastard.
You little smug shit.
I want to trade you. Would you like one with a diva on a jet ski? SummerSlam 2008 for that
tempting.
One?
I'll have to take it under advisement.
All right.
tell us where you guys both were for the event.
He was fourth row. I was like in the nosebleeds. That's why we never got a chance to meet.
That's about right.
You know, I mean, but I will tell you, the crowd was nuclear hot. Okay,
right.
Crowd was nuclear hot for most of the show. And Nikki, what else do you want to ask about it?
Well,
there were a couple of parts where it did get dead. A couple of parts where it got really stupid.
Yeah, there were a few sections that I hope that you guys were not participating.
So, yeah, I should clarify my eyes. So, when I got in, I was fourth row. If you're looking at it from the taping standpoint, if you're watching from camera, I was in the section in the right smack dab in the middle of the table side. I was fourth row all the way on the left of the... So, I was fourth row in all the way towards the camera. Three rows in front of me, and the front row was Foley's family.
Okay, so you saw Noelle, and you probably saw Frankie.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to look for the Tuckers. I think they were there though.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tuckers were front row, camera side, camera left, closer to the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, happy belated 21st birthday, Ben. Hope you had a blast. But yeah, the crowd got a little stupid at points. A couple of you can't wrestle popped up.
Yeah, one popped up during the women's match, which I'm like, so the section to my immediate left, section 7, is where all the really dumb smarks were. Like,
oh, geez.
That was the number threes, and that they were the ones that were chanting, "You can't wrestle," during the women's match. Mm-hmm. To which I replied with my own chant, "Shut up, Smarks!"
Oh, jeez. But yeah, I think I heard some "You can't wrestles" during the main, and I'm hoping there was a "Yes, he can" retaliatory chant.
There was worse in the main.
Mm. Well, I'm sure there was worse.
Well, I think the crowd was pretty much one-sided in the main.
Yeah, in the main, it's like I sat on my hands and like, well, I have a story for the main that got me a little pissed off, and it wasn't related to anything that anyone was chanting and anything that was happening in the ring, but there is a story about me in the main that I got to tell, but I sat on my hands most of the main, and I'm like, really, shut up. Just let them wrestle.
Seriously.
Yeah, because they put on another fine display, in my humble opinion.
Well, and it was exactly the way I called it. It was going to be a good match with a whole bunch of gaga.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we got.
You were talking about dead spots. Am I correct in easily saying that probably the deadest of all the matches was the, save for those couple of moments towards the beginning, at the beginning and at the end, the Asylum match?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That was strange to me. Why do you guys think it was so quiet?
Because, I'll tell you why, because it was badly spaced. Because
absolutely.
Because the Asylum match came after the match of the year.
Oh, God, that Intercontinental match.
The Intercontinental title match. It was badly spaced.
And some of the pacing
in the Asylum match was a little sluggish, I think.
Yeah, the pacing, I think, is more of it than the spacing, to be honest. It came off Nikki, Jason, and VRM as if it was a slow, plodding, way too methodical for what it was kind of match. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was the longest match on the card.
It was, and I think so. Let me look something up real quick.
I remember, I was just watching it on the network, and I'm like, okay, when are we getting to the money point? And it took forever. And I get it. You have to climb up on a cage and do stuff and what have you. And let it also be said, the announcing during that match, more than any other, sucked. They gave no credit to Ambrose pulling off that elbow, which was a damn good move.
Mm-hmm.
They just treated it like, oh, just generic elbow drop. He dove off a 10 or 12 foot. Come on.
Yeah, I know. So here's something that I did come across. Meltzer and others had reported that Ambrose asked for the match to be a little more brutal with more spots, just more seriousness, but they shut all of Ambrose's ideas down. So that's why the match was the way it was. Props to Jericho for at least doing this, given that he likes Ambrose and probably knows how it feels to have your ideas shut down. Mm.
So Ambrose wanted CZW.
I think Ambrose just was willing, was willing to just go as far as IPW, which really isn't that much different, just a lot less light tubes. The fact that they even got tax.
That was a hell of a spot. I don't care. That was just, if ever there was the time to break out a JR line, he's a human pincushion. That was it. Okay. Yeah. When it happened to Foley at Hell in a Cell in the past, okay, he had clothing on that could kind of, be a little bit of a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho took 69 tacks to the back and arms. Okay.
And to that, it was a subversion of the Foley rule. Mm-hmm. Dean should have taken those first. He's the one who spread them on the mat.
I was expecting that. It's like, oh, boy.
The funny thing is that was the second subversion of the night.
Which was the first?
The first was the fact that Gallows and Anderson brought the ring bell in during the Tornado tag match.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Usos took it. One of the Usos landed on it. Gallows nor Anderson got hit with that bell.
Yeah, blame it on the flying Usos, Maggle.
But that match was just, unfortunately the Usos are receiving residual souring because they're, just because they're tied in with Roman.
Mm-hmm. Which is a shame. But,
it is.
But totally not unexpected.
No, it's not. It wasn't.
Heck, The Rock is steering clear from him now. Come on. Because he knows what happened in Philly last year. So.
He tried. Not for lack of trying on his part. But all of this wonderful stuff that happened, wonderful or not wonderful, the cherry on top. VRM, tell me. Walk me through the post-main.
All right.
Yes, here we go.
All right.
I asked VRM, Jason.
Gotcha. I know.
So, obviously, crowd shitting on everything because Roman won. First of all, that was a hell of a spear against the forearm.
It was.
Yeah. And it's like the second I saw that, I was like, okay. It's like I saw the setup. It's like, okay, either this is gonna be a total guy behind me, either this is gonna be a Superman, or it's gonna be a spear. And it's like, called it. 1, 2, 3. Okay, let's go. All right, everyone, get your shit. Everybody leaves. We'll go. Reigns will leave. We'll get out of here. Suddenly, I hear from the far side, because I can't see. I really can't see the ramp from where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Far side of the arena, I start hearing things going to shit. And I'm like, oh god, don't tell me, because I said I saw rumors that Seth was going to be here tonight. Sure enough, running into the ring, it's like, oh god, he's here, and it was as if someone set off a nuke in that arena, because it got extremely hot in like a split second. The yes chants were everywhere. I think it eclipsed Hunter 2002.
Easily. Jason, you were at Hunter's return. Comparison.
Oh no, no. From
where I was sitting, I remember I'm in freaking Noise Central down there, so.
Except for the fact that I was in the upper floors of Triple H 2002. I was there for it live, remember. And that was the loudest reaction I have ever heard at a wrestling show. Okay? This was pretty loud. I will get you. I will grant you that. And when he hit the pedigree, the place became unfucking glued. Okay? Unglued. So, yeah. But you're absolutely right, though. It was hot. It was nuclear hot.
CrossFit Jesus.
Yes, but we'll get to that in a minute. Nick, why don't we give the pickers before we get to Seth trying to be a heel?
Well, actually, before you get to the pickums, VRM, you had a story about your situation watching or trying to watch the main event. I think we should get to that first.
So most of the night, I'm doing everything I can to not watch the Titantron. I'm doing everything I can not to watch the Tron. Then we get to the main event and the fight spills outside. Immediately, Foley's family and the entire front row stands up. And so the fight starts going around the back, and we're like imploring, come over here, because we're down the aisle. It's like, please, come over here. And, of course, they went around the smark section, as I'm going to call them, in Section 7.
Mm-hmm.
They went around, eventually got back in the ring. And, okay, they're back in the ring. Everybody sit down. First three rows and most of the area still standing up. It's like, okay, they're back in the ring. Sit down. Ushers start coming up to the front asking everybody to sit down. But, of course, since they're family members, that's kind of difficult to get it to happen. So everyone is standing up, and I'm like, I'm sitting here grousing, come on, sit down, please, because I'm sitting down. Eventually I get up, sort of look at, try and see in the ring, and I say, screw it, I'll watch it on the Tron. I'm pissed off because I want to see the match. I can't see the match without watching on the Tron. Thanks for that a lot, people. Luckily, I was able to barely see the post-match festivities after everybody had sat down following the match. But still, I was kind of annoyed about not being able to see the main.
It's frustrating, and security is usually better about getting people to sit down. And in the case of Foley's family, yeah, it is really hard to say something. And I would think that Foley, I think Frankie and Noel would know this. I mean, Frankie sits front row enough to know he would sit down. But
oh, that's right. Frankie is dating Noel, right?
Yeah,
that's like bastard.
Yeah, they were. I saw when they showed Foley's family. I saw him standing next to Noelle. I knew he was there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, it also was a little tough because I believe one of Foley's children is autistic too. So I think that it might have been a little bit more difficult in that respect. True. Still, I understand what you're saying, though.
But still, the people around, you know, if it's just one row in front of you, that's one thing. But if it's three rows in front of you, good luck.
Yeah, it's like all three rows in front of me into the middle of the section.
And you're how tall again?
About 5'7".
Yeah.
So a bit taller than me, but still, you know. Doesn't matter when you got three rows of people in front of you.
Yeah, okay. I know the feeling. The one Raw I went to, the one where they redid the Hell in a Cell and Foley took a half bump through the Spanish table. We were front row announcer side, but we were past the corner, so we were like really like front row, yet four or five rows back.
I've been through that too. Yuck.
Yeah, that's that. And when I could have met John LeClaire. He was within arm shot, but I didn't want to bother him. Regrets. Let's go Flyers. Oh, wait. No.
Oh, can't be any worse than me yelling at the Pittsburgh Steelers for standing up when I couldn't see.
You're gonna, well, it's, yeah. Come on, Big Ben, sit down, Michael.
Yeah. No, yeah. One funny segment. I don't know if it actually got onto air, but I think it was after the first match, me and one of the guys behind me went to go to the bathroom, and they had gone to a segment on the pre-show set, which was right in line with the aisle for our section.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch that segment and you see a guy in like a pinstripe Yankees jersey that stops, pauses for a second, walks, and then before it keeps walking, that's me. But the guy who was with me shouted, "I love you, Jerry."
I think I heard that.
Yeah, that's when I had gotten up to go to the bathroom. So I'm standing right next to that guy.
Okay. Another thing I'm going to dig on with this pay per view is that it was rather predictable. Our scores are very strong this time.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Waters and Brian Henniger are at the bottom, but with 5 points.
Out of a possible, how many was it again? Like 12?
Something like that.
That's not bad.
So, myself, VRM, Dan, and Stat Boy are next to the bottom at 6. Are you trying to compensate for something, VRM, or?
Is that code?
I didn't have control of the books this month.
Okay.
This is true.
So Stat Boy's compensating for something. Got it. Let's see. Jim, you, Jason, Carl, and Ethan are a step up at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Tyler Brown, Seidy, and Shane at 8. But they are not the ones to hold the Fizzleweight title. That distinct honor goes to a panelist who needs to get his ass back on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, your Extreme Rules Fizzleweight champion with 9 points, which is an odd number for a guy named Fourth.
Ah. Nice. Ta-da! Good job.
Well done.
Excellent.
So, but yeah, little things for all of us. The fact that just about everybody picked Ambrose for the Asylum match, and everybody picked Miz to get pinned while Miz is going, ha ha. Okay.
Screw you guys, everybody. I'm going home. Yeah.
Well, fourth picked Miz. That's probably why he won.
There you go.
So, yes. A wild Seth Rollins appeared. He uses pedigree. Reigns is KO'd. Monday night, Seth Rollins has to come out and try to cut a heel promo.
In
Epic
Baltimore.
Fail.
Challenge accepted.
He tried.
I think he gave up a little ways through because he made the comment, you know, cheer me, boo me, do whatever you want.
See, when it's Roman Reigns who says that, they're going to boo. When it's Seth Rollins who says that, yay!
Because it's not Roman.
Exactly. You are not nuclear. You are just freaking CrossFit Jesus.
And to that,
with no blonde streak, by the way.
Boo! I miss the blonde streak.
You know you do. Yeah.
Oh! Just one quick thing. You know the new shirt that Seth Rollins had, which says "Rebuild, Recharge, Reclaim." I believe it's
redesign,
called
Redesign, Rebuild, Reclaim.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't on sale when we went into the arena. However, on the way out, it was.
And I bet they flew off the shelf like hotcakes.
I believe they did, but from what I saw, yeah.
That is almost too clever for WWE.
Oh, yeah, it's and
did,
it's.
Did either of you go and take the bait?
No, not yet. No,
but I haven't. But then again, I was more concerned with getting out of Newark with my chair.
And your life.
Yeah, that's more important.
Newark.
Hey, I had to escape New York City with a chair. I understand.
No. Newark, worse than New York City.
Yes, so, exactly.
Especially the area around between Prudential and... There was a police chopper circling the arena when I got there.
Oh, Lordy.
Good Lord, the show hadn't even started yet and they were already looking.
Yeah, they were just trying to redo that mid to late 90s Raw open where Vince is dancing on top of the roof.
Did I put it on the thread?
I don't remember if you did or not.
Well, the only other thing I can do to even match that VRM is the fact that I had to somehow get my chair through LaGuardia and get it home.
Oof.
That wasn't fun and somebody almost got hit with it.
And not on the padded side.
No. I wanted them to take the full metal side of that.
Yeah.
So, oops, I closed.
By the way,
if
you think of people, a couple of people stole chairs.
I'm not surprised.
Put them up on eBay. Yeah. Now, how many rows deep do you get the chairs?
Five.
It's five rows, yeah.
Yeah.
And you shelled out how much for the ticket?
$400.
That's about right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, with the chair, if you have a chair seat,
you have to wait for an official to come in, sign your ticket, and then present the ticket to the usher to get out of the lower bowl.
Which is why it amazes me that people still manage to smuggle chairs out.
More people than security, that's all I can figure.
So...
I bet a couple of the little kids were able to, that didn't have them, were able to get them, like, for the unclaimed. So I think there were a few unclaimed.
Okay. And I know that sometimes a couple are grabbed by crew. So, but that is neither here nor there.
Okay, back to Seth.
Yes, Seth Rollins attempts to cut a heel promo. And it doesn't work. Seth tries to rekindle his business relationship with Stephanie and gets friend-zoned.
You ain't kidding. Oh, my God.
It got cold in there real quick.
I mean, seriously.
Not going to make the obvious boob joke about coldness and Steph. Not going to make it.
No.
No, you're not. Shame on you, sir.
No, but I was just going to say shrinkage, but hey, we already knew that.
No, I wasn't saying shrinkage.
We already knew that with
Seth. Seth's already had proof out there. Let's not go there.
Oh, no. Oh,
you said it. I didn't. Oh, man.
I am in care of Spectrum 1.
Stop that.
Now then.
I could have said care of Equestria Daily with that. It made you feel better. Anyway.
So Seth Rollins makes a hell of a time to return for Raw episode 1200. So happy birthday, Raw. And Heath Slater, you took the cake because you didn't have any other jobber buddies to take it for you.
Gotta take the cake, baby! Well, yeah, because a couple of those jobber buddies got released, you see.
Yes. Did you see that, guys? It's called a segue.
I know how to ride them.
We'd spoken in previous episodes about Adam Rose's legal trouble, so I think he took the high road. I think
He asked.
Yeah, he was classy enough to say, "Hey, this is a mess. I need to clean up. You know, I'm asking for my release. And they said, you know what? You go ahead and take care of business. And which was probably the corporate way of saying, thank you for saying that you're going to leave because we were going to kick your ass to the curb. Anyway.
Yeah, bingo. I mean, especially with the domestic issue that happened recently. Yeah.
Yeah. So the one that kind of caught everybody off guard, though, was the fact that Cody Stardust is walking away. He asked for and was granted his release, and a couple of days later, his wife, Eden Styles, was also permitted release.
Now, interesting tidbit about that. Let me see if I still have it. But while we were waiting, I do have it. Someone was out passing out. This is my ticket. Never mind. That's my ticket stub. But someone was passing out flyers for a local show that was being cross promoted with Global Force.
Yeah.
A couple of names on that poster. Hornswoggle.
Mm-hmm.
Booker T.
Interesting.
And if I remember correctly, Cody was on that poster.
That was quick. That was very quick.
And what, I know that show, I don't remember, you remember?
What I
would think that you would have seen Sandow, because I know he's
already. Oh yeah, Sandow. Yeah, it was Sandow. Yeah,
Sandow. Yeah, because Sandow picked up with Global Force pretty quickly after his release.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know the logic when a wrestler asks for a release. Is there still the 90-day no compete, or is it different?
I think it really depends on the circumstances, especially in this case, Jason, because of the way in which the post-mortem was handled. I liken what Cody Rhodes did to the Keith Olbermann napalming of ESPN in 1997, because he left scorched earth all over the place.
You think?
I didn't think Cody was that.
Well, except with the head writers,
he pretty much threw creative under the bus.
That I get. And you want to know something? He should, because all joking aside, Cody should have had an A belt. He should have had the world title, or at least been in the picture.
At some point, yes, absolutely.
And he never was.
I don't disagree with you on that front, but I will say this as well. When you open yourself up that open and you say what he said on his Twitter account, I believe it was Sunday into Monday, with just a copy and paste image thing that gave his full reasoning for why he left, you leave yourself vulnerable not just to WWE, but when you think about it, future employers. I mean, if he is going to act this way with the biggest company, I'm just maybe playing devil's advocate here a little bit. Let's say he was to go to Impact Wrestling just for the sake of shits and giggles, okay?
Okay.
And you know, he is given a mediocre role, and he wants to leave. He's, you know, it's expected, well, if you don't give him something, they're going to trash me. And he's going to be, he could have blackballed himself by going, by the means in which he said what he said, I think.
There's that potential. But I think it was said with enough professionalism. I read it a couple of times. It was still said with enough professionalism and just the comment, you know, hey, whatever's out there for me. And we don't know if 100% Cody's state of mind, because he didn't take a break after Dusty passed.
Yeah.
That's true. He just went straight forward. And what really blew my mind after the whole thing with Cody was the fact that the creative didn't want to let him be Cody Rhodes again.
And he mentioned that in his little farewell letter. He gave them 100 different ways to do it too. And they still didn't want to do it. You know, if he wants to be Cody, let him be Cody. I mean, he had gone as far as he could with the Stardust gimmick, and since the Ascension is currently, you know, personae non grata, and Neville's still hurt, you know, and they didn't want to put Stardust into A belt contention, you know, and we couldn't get Cody couldn't even get a sympathy A belt attempt after losing his father. You know, that's a little nepotistic, but there's precedent.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the money quote, as it were. Although apparently I am blocked from at Cody Rhodes' Twitter, so I don't know how that happened.
Why? What'd you
do? Well, it's because it's at Hyrule Husky. That's why.
Right. Let me see here. Oh, there we go. There it is. Let me bring it up here one more time. Okay. The main line that really is, you know, I don't want to say questionable, but cringeworthy. And I don't doubt that it's not true, is him pretty much saying that creative is so worried about other things. Both head writers of Raw and SmackDown, quote, one pretending to be Brian Gewirtz and the other too busy hitting on developmental divas, continue to not return my pictures or emails. And in face-to-face encounters, tried to big league me by pretending to be on their clearly powered-off laptops, barely willing to listen to an idea I considered beneficial to more than one talent. So you're saying that you've got a horn dog in one writer, and both of them as a whole are just going through the motions. I mean, you see why I say what I say. Again, it very well may be true. Who am I not to say he's not right? But I don't know if it was the wisest thing in the world to say that publicly. That's all.
If, you know, I think you're right. That is a little extreme. And if you're going to them, Cody, then that's why you weren't getting anywhere. You had to go to Hunter. You had to go to Vince. You don't go to those guys. The buck stops with Vince and the buck stops with Hunter. If you can get at least one of those guys on your side, then you could probably have gotten an idea or two through. But talking to creative?
And the interesting sidebar about this, the thing with Eden leaving, you know, standing by her man, she claimed that she had her other ventures in the fashion industry, which she does.
Mm-hmm.
That may have saved the career, or the job at least right now, for a one Lillian Garcia. It had been rumored on various sites that among the first, when they did the spring cleaning, Lillian was to be among those in spring cleaning this year.
Mm.
But because of the situation with her father, the health crisis that he went through, they pulled back on doing so now, because it's just pretty much her, JoJo, and Greg Hamilton. When it comes to ring announcing, it looks like Lillian's safe for now.
Mm.
We shall see.
Yes, we shall. Of course, a few people were actually concerned that Cody's departure would reflect back on Goldust, and Goldust is like, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm perfectly fine where I am, and frankly, Golden Truth is a comedy tag team in a strong tag team division, so they're not. How can you punish Goldust at this point?
Woo. Got to back up a second. You're willing to say right now what is in place is a strong tag team division?
Yes.
I can't agree with you on that. Okay, you've got New Day, you've got Gallows and Anderson,
mm-hmm.
The Usos,
mm-hmm.
And that's really about it.
Well...
As of right now.
This is a segue.
Yes,
this brings
see
a
what
segue.
I did there. See what I did.
I see we got ourselves a hater.
Oh,
we really got ourselves a hater.
No, yeah, I'm down with a certified G. Come on now.
Then why would you forgot somebody in your list then? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Excuse me, why are you being a hater?
I'm not being a... First of all, you're white, Jason.
I'm trying to do Kenzo Amore, a couple of haters.
I'm not a couple hater. Of I haters. Love me some Enzo and his I'm on coke bit.
Excuse me. He mainlined some espresso before he came out.
Oh, I think he lied something else, if you know what I mean. I mean, he could be the world record holder for microphone throws before much longer, because he has to keep picking up the mic from further and further distances as he comes out.
I love it.
And that's another thing I'll say about the pay-per-view. The Dudley's pyro scared the piss out of me.
Scared the piss out of my dad, too. And, you know, he's one of those people who, you know, it reminds him of military stuff. And the Dudley's pyro coming out of nowhere was a little bit of a shock to him.
By the way, next time you go that close, would it hurt you, VRM, to bring a Spectrum 1 or NAWC sign? Would it?
Anyway, so yeah, tag team division. Hey, look at that, the Dudleys. Mm.
Mm.
And, you know, granted, the Lucha Dragons may not be together for too much longer.
Mm-hmm. No.
Then we have Golden Truth, and
they're trying. I'll give them credit. They are trying to build back up what was a very beleaguered tag team division.
And we have the Vaudevillains, who, you know, have had a stumbling start and could have gotten in a whole lot more trouble for almost killing Enzo. But
yeah,
we still have a tag team. We still have a tag team division.
Okay. All right. It's strengthening. I wouldn't call it strong. It's strengthening.
Given what I've seen of the tag team division back in 2005, this is a strong tag team division.
Okay.
So anyway,
point taken. Continue.
Okay. Let's see. Where was I going with this? Okay. I don't have it on the run sheet, but this was addressed in the intro. SmackDown, it has been announced, is going to be aired live starting in July. And with that is the potential, and this has gotten a beloved Cena pop, the potential of a brand split. I am 100% behind a brand split. I love the brand split personally. And I think that these guys have been able to go back and look at what they did from 2002 to 2008 and figure out what they did wrong and what they did right.
Yeah, the talk is that it's going to be still just one World Heavyweight Championship. The two mid-card belts will be split. One brand gets US, one brand gets IC. Mm-hmm. Tag teams may float. Women's championship may or may not float. So, I'm torn. Without bringing in a bunch of people from NXT, can mm-hmm. they legitimately split the roster in half?
I don't see it.
And this lends itself to the concept, and we've noticed this as well. And it's not a knock on the NXT people who've been brought up, but there's something missing with a lot of them and how they've been, dare I say, expedited up quickly. You know, the injury to Enzo, for example, mm-hmm. and the Vaudevillains. And you remember the Ascension being brought up and buried in 5 seconds flat on commentary. Apollo Crews, this is a good segue also, side seg. Apollo Crews on Raw in that Money in the Bank qualifier did himself no favors with anybody in the back.
And this, I saw this pop up on the threads too. The fact that, you know, he took this beat down from Sheamus, who was pitching a hissy fit for losing his match to Sami Zayn, but Apollo still went out there and did his thing. and didn't really sell the fact that he had gotten his ass kicked. I gave it a pass only because I knew that Apollo Crews had no chance in hell of beating Jericho. Is that the right answer? Probably not.
No, I don't think it is.
I mean, but is there word that Apollo got in trouble for that?
I think it's something that, again, only us ardent people who, you know, like a little thing called continuity would be, and this isn't number three-esque in this regard.
No.
I don't think. It's just continuity.
No, it's not. Because for me, when I saw that, I was like, no. You don't do that. And
I'm surprised they didn't go stiffer on him in the match because of it, quite frankly. Botch at the end.
Yeah, Jericho should have. And if that's the case, and with Apollo buggered something up at the end, then, you know, there might be, I don't think they had any, did they really have a plan for him? I mean, you know, he's very charismatic and he's very athletic, but what's the plan?
I mean, again, it comes down to the difference between NXT and the main roster. They have more freedom to create on their own. They have, you know, where the shows are taped in advance, they have more leeway to, you know, bubblegum and duct tape any issues. When you get up to the main roster, it seems as though, Jason, that something is lost. It's like they maybe too many heads, too many chefs in the kitchen that they can't handle, as it were, or something?
No, I think what this just was a rookie mistake. It was a rookie mistake in not selling the beatdown.
I'm not talking about Apollo. I'm talking about, in general, some of the NXT. I mean, for example, Charlotte, also, until that promo she made Monday night,
which
we'll talk about, she has been, you know, okay in the ring, at times lackluster, at times very, very good. But on the mic, she is like she's reading off a teleprompter.
Thank you.
Yes, that is on her. First of all, I will disagree about her wrestling skills. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. She sucks as a prompter. Again, going up to the NXT stuff. Okay. We could give the successes. The Shield.
Yeah.
The Wyatts, for the most part.
Well, Bray especially, but okay.
Okay. But you could count the failures more. Bo Dallas, Paige, I'm sorry. Paige is a failure, in my opinion, anyway. You could talk about Tyler Breeze, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could talk about, Neville's not a failure. I mean, you know, he was doing well in his injury time, up until he got injured, rather.
But that falls in line with some of the other stuff with most of the NXTers. They're either injured or, not a big name on the main – well, I shouldn't say a big name, but they're not noteworthy when they get to the main roster.
Well, Kevin Owens did all right, and Sami Zayn would have, you know, we don't know where he would have gone in his first iteration because he got hurt in his very first match.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know if they need more time in NXT or if it's just, you know, the life and awe of being in front of like 10,000 at least people every night. I don't know.
No, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. It is the additional physical abuse of the body for travel.
Good point.
Wrong. I will tell you exactly what it is. It is the fact, and I'm going to blame it on Vince McMahon, and I will tell you why. Because when you are down with NXT, who's the head of creative? Triple H. He knows how to get characters over there. Vince still doesn't. Okay? He will take what makes people great in NXT and neuter it in the WWE. I'm sorry.
But how does that figure into physical injury, though?
The physical injury is just bad luck at bad timing to me.
which there's been a lot of as of late.
But see, that's what I'm saying. We've had several NXT talent injured shortly after their call-ups to the roster, and I really think some of that is the change of schedule. When you're with NXT, you travel, but you only travel a few times a year.
Not nearly as much, not 52 weeks a year, as opposed to the main roster.
Yeah. And there is an additional toll to your body, being in a plane, being in a car, sleeping in a strange bed. That is additional damage. And then there's the time constraint when it comes to eating and training. And, you know, we've long-timers who, you know, have dealt with this, the Chris Jerichos, the Rob Van Dams, they, you know, their bodies are conditioned to handle all of that.
Yeah, you know, even say the Kevin Owens, because of where he was on the independent circuit so much, traveling a lot.
It's hard. I think what's going on is that the neutering that you're seeing, Jason, is also partially the constraints of television. NXT is not under that constraint.
And you know, to your point though, Jason, you're right about Vince not knowing what works in NXT and translating it over to the main roster. Just put it to you this way. If Cass wasn't 7 feet tall, because we know Vince loves the big people, then they would have just done something different with Enzo and Cass when they got to the main roster. You know that as well as I do. Because, you know, Vince will do anything to get a 7-foot guy over on TV.
And that's why he had no problem letting Cass go out there by himself.
And to his credit, he took the spotlight for the time that Enzo was out and made the most of it. More power to him.
And so, and thankfully, you know, now that Enzo's back, you know, at least, and you know, Enzo will still get to shine. If this was 10, 15 years ago, they would have kept going with Cass's push and they would have either repackaged Enzo or sent him back down to developmental.
Mm-hmm.
No fault of his own other than just a freak accident at a pay-per-view. The good news is, though, we have a couple of NXTers, NXT graduates, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, technically Cesaro.
Double O Cesaro.
Very much so. Yes. Are now qualified for Money in the Bank. Chris Jericho is going back in. Maybe he will actually win one. I doubt it, but hey. There's a happy scary Dean in there. And since I didn't see SmackDown, but somebody was kind enough to give me notes that Alberto Del Rio is qualified for it. Mm-hmm. Which seems kind of odd, but you got to have a couple of guys in there that have done it, mm-hmm. or at least have been at that level. No, they're not going to win it. Jericho, like I said, Jericho is a prime example of that. And Del Rio, I don't see him winning it either. I mean, out of these guys, it's either going to be Owens or Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two it comes down to for me.
And that's a tough call. At this early stage, that's a real tough call. Because I could see it with either of them, too.
Right.
Yeah, I. If there was one thing I saw going into the Fatal 4-Way, it was I didn't see Owens winning that match because I had a feeling that he was going to get something for a main event push the way he's been going lately.
And that's been circulating through the sheets, so that's why I don't think anybody... Did anybody... I don't... If... We had maybe two people pick Owens, because I didn't think it was going to be Owens either, and that wasn't a punishment. We just knew that he was going to get pushed up the card. I think a lot of people were looking at Cesaro or Zayn.
Oh, and speaking of Kevin Owens, if I can segue quickly, just
please,
a quick detour. Did you or did you not catch the Raw Fallout clip with Young Boy Tom, poor guy, and Kevin Owens after Raw?
I did not.
Do you want me to play the audio of it? Because there's something very interesting that was included in that interview.
It's about 2 minutes. You should listen to this one.
Yeah.
This is the most important.
Yeah, we're going to do it. All right, let me cue it up here first. But it's after the match, shortly after his victory on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something he says. Well, while you do that, explain what happened with AJ Gallows and Anderson on Raw very quickly, because it ties into that.
Okay. AJ was a little hot over what had happened at Extreme Rules, and he finally, you know, he's pretty much put his foot down and told Gallows and Anderson to get out of his business. We're still friends, but I don't need your help. Because help you guys were at the pay-per-view. They're not happy, but they're definitely going to move on so that AJ can stay face. And Gallows and Anderson will probably still be cheered despite the fact that they're obviously heels.
Okay, I've got the clip up.
Go.
This segues into the split up, if you will, of the three amigos, and listen very carefully for the hidden message, hidden storyline message, nudge, nudge.
Go ahead.
And courtesy WWE.com.
Excuse me, Kevin. Just wanted to get...
You want to talk to me about tonight's match? You want to talk to me about qualifying for the Money in the Bank ladder match? That's fine. I actually don't need you. Actually, you know what, Tom? Come back here, because I feel like you need to listen to me real closely. Because you have that little smug look on your face. You think you're cool because your hair is perfect and you got the nice little tie. Here's the thing. This isn't the Tom... Philbin? Phil? Phillips? Phyllis. The Tom Phyllis Show. This is the Kevin Owens Show! And tonight I just proved that against none other than the phenomenal AJ Styles. The phenomenal AJ Styles who lost to me. And now what excuse are people going to make for him? Oh, he was phenomenal. It's because he was probably just in pain from last night, from that incredible match with Roman Reigns. And also, he lost the club. His friends, they broke up right before the match. The club. You know what? Did you know this, Tom? It's not even his club. No, it's someone else's club. And he just waltzed in there and acted like it was his. The bottom line is this. There's no excuse for AJ Styles tonight. The only fact of the matter is I am better. And the WWE Universe can deny it. AJ Styles can deny it. Everybody can deny it all they want. The bottom line is this. This is my show. This is my year. That hanging up there is my briefcase. And what Roman Reigns has around his waist, that's my WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Because I am the best.
Let me just take a second to pick that hint up off the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, somebody else's club, maybe?
Something about a prince? Are you sure this isn't spam?
Hey, okay, a prince? All right, fine. Albert's coming back. Prince Albert in a can. No.
No.
Stop that.
If they did have Prince Albert in a can, he'd be easier to push.
Oh, isn't he the one who does the Vaude Villains intro on the Titantron?
I swear that's him.
I want to say that's him, but I'm not sure.
It looks like him, but it doesn't sound like him.
Overdub, who knows?
But, yeah, Kevin Owens seems to know something about somebody who hasn't come up to the main roster yet. And yeah, also kind of knows these guys from Japan, and they've worked together and they're buddies. They've probably had a few nights in Roppongi they don't remember. Yeah.
I ask you, is this anything? Yeah, probably.
Oh, it's something. It might not be next week. It might not be next month. But it's something.
SummerSlam, cough, SummerSlam.
Excuse me, SummerFest.
But yeah, that's coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm perfectly okay with that. The trick is it perfectly okay with him? Because I have this image in my head now of this poor little demon getting dragged out by his ankles by Vince.
But I want to stay. I like it here.
Bailey!
Oh, Mamo-chan, no!
As what? Bailey's holding on to his arm, saying, "No, you can't leave. Don't leave me here by myself. Everybody else has left me."
Holding on to her, clutching her own Balor Club shirt while clutching onto his as well.
Exactly. Yes, I know.
Rumor is she's coming up too. So
they must come up together. I still say they should come up as a couple.
No,
that's just me.
The adorbs.
Yes, the feels. But again,
now
Kevin
I've got,
Owens.
Sorry, I was just gonna say. Now I've got the Frog Balor and Frog Bailey. I've had.
Oh, those are outstanding.
What? Link me.
Oh yes, I will. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, but just as an aside, there's a very funny clip of a Fozzie Bear being told that he's being canceled at a press conference at a festival this week. It was pretty funny. No, but I'm just saying right now is like the whole thing right now. Kevin Owens right now is on another level when it comes to heeldom. This is what he was doing in Ring of Honor for years, and now the world gets to see it.
Mm-hmm. Ain't it awesome?
Yeah.
The man is a dick, and he's so good at it. And he's a decent enough guy in person. Then again, maybe he was just doing it just to make sure that people would remember him.
Well, but he's a nice enough guy that him and Tyler Breeze raised a bunch of money for the Canadian people, and I believe the Canadian government matched the money.
No kidding.
Let me read that. Let me find that exactly. Oh, yeah, here it is. They raised $71,925, and the Canadian government stated they would double any donations, which means that they made $143,850 for the relief for the Fort McMurray wildfires. Good on you, you dick.
Yeah, seriously. Such a selfish individual doing such a selfless thing. Tyler, you're confusing me. But no, it's awesome. What else do I have? Ah, yes. Has anybody else here seen the Shane O'Mac interview?
I have not.
Watched most of it. It was what it was.
So Jim, since you watched most of it, did you think it was maybe a little sanitized?
Yeah, I think part of that is because Foley was at the helm as opposed to Austin. And again, Austin, it wasn't anything personal. Austin had the legit injury and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of it. And I just think they wanted to go the safe route. I didn't find anything, not to say that anything wasn't legit in it. It was all legitimate. It's just they didn't want to go on pressing issues. I thought it was kind of cool, some of the backstage photos they showed, including and especially after Mania, of him and Vince hugging. That was like, I almost got the waterworks going myself because that was like touching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they went the safe route. Yeah.
There were a couple of good nuggets in there, though.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of good things in there. Getting his perspective on the screw job, getting his perspective on the end of the Monday Night Wars. that night in Panama City? And just what did he walk into? I would have loved to have heard more. I know he wasn't going to name names over who was, okay, you're here, you know, we'll work with you to get the fuck out. To those people that were staring daggers through his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He dodged a question about the current product skillfully, very skillfully. And it's kind of easy with Mick because I noticed he was a little, it's starting to show, Mick. It really is. To me, Mick is not 100% here.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that in the Shane O'Mac interview, and I saw that in the recent Table for Three with him and Edge and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's another nice view because they talk a whole bunch about their interactions when Foley was commissioner.
Yeah, he seemed, Mick, at times like he didn't know which way how to phrase things, or you know, when to segue, or when to, you know, should I just say this? Should we go to this? Should we, you know, a little worried about Mickles, a little worried.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that a story came up in both the interview and in Table for Three that kind of bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
When he talked about when he did an appearance in Baltimore, and he only had two lines, and he, you know, he talked about how meticulously he sat and tried to make sure he had those in his head. And he had the first one, and the second one flew out of his head. It was one of his freaking catchphrases. It was his cheap pop, and he forgot it.
Yeah.
So are you saying that we're going to see a day where Foley just goes away because he's too far gone?
I think it's going to happen sooner than later. And that's why they're going to have to get everything they can out of Foley in the next 2 to 3 years.
You know, it really, I wonder, I don't know if he's ever said that he would or not, but, you know, get Chris Nowinski on the phone, if you catch my drift.
I agree.
Because, I mean, not to pass judgment, even though I'm going to. No question, he's had, from all the chair shots and all the things he's done, wouldn't doubt it if he had CTE. Would not doubt it at all.
Oh, I guarantee that he's got it. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And you know.
Not to be rude. It's just, you know, look at everything the man's put himself through for the love of goodness.
So, but yeah, it's just something I noticed. And just having the awareness out there. It's just something to keep an eye on. And now it makes me even more nervous to watch the miniseries they did with him and his family. But
the Holy Foley, right?
Right.
I mean, for all we know, it could be down the road to the Osbournes again, to some degree.
It could. It could very well. I think that's everything I had on my docket.
Yeah, just our requisite TNA news.
Yeah, about upfronts. And is TNA still going to be on Pop? Question mark?
I understood they are. Okay, yeah. Even though they didn't show up in the upfronts?
We found this out of Pop TV's president, Bradley Schwartz, who did an interview with Mike Johnson from PW Insider.
Okay.
Talking about why TNA was left off the upfronts. The reason is because of the actual advertising plan itself. The advertising for the upfronts is the sales team of Pop TV going to do their normal ads for the majority of their shows. According to Bradley Schwartz, Pop and Impact have a third-party ad agency that is selling the advertising time during Impact. So there is supposedly a... And he has said that selling ads for Impact is not what their ad team is really set on doing. They have they're normally doing the they've got so the women's 25-54 demo. They mm-hmm. have the adult 18-49 demo.
Mm-hmm.
So they're even though they do hit that 18-49, it's more the male 18-34 demo they want to hit.
Right.
So.
And get this. Impact is actually doing quite well to the point where it had its biggest audience yet on Pop, which was 359,000 viewers.
Mm-hmm.
For the first, you know, for the first airing. And I think that they have, and they have risen steadily over the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm, you know, let's continue it. I just, you know.
Right. Let's see.
Mm-hmm. This here's the last quote from this interview, from Schwartz, quote, and this is in relation to the not being up front because of the sales team, quote, that's the only reason Impact wasn't in our upfronts release, because our team isn't selling it. From a programming standpoint, yes, it will be on the air. We aren't going to get rid of the second highest rated show on the network, unquote. To which Mikey brought up that it was the highest rated show on Destination America.
So I wonder what's ahead of them on Pop, Schitt's Creek?
Probably, actually.
Well, more power to them. I just, you know.
And that's cheaper for them because it's straight from Canada, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see how much longer that keeps TNA afloat. Because once July hits, it's going to get real interesting real quick.
Oh, you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. I am very interested to see how quickly the hour, that 9 to 10 hour where they're directly competing, where they're at. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because that 1 hour is going to be interesting, because WWE gets 1 hour uneventful and Impact gets 1 hour.
Unopposed.
So we'll see.
Unopposed, I think, is the term you're looking for.
Yes, I know. My brain is, you know.
Sorry. Well, no, that just means we do really need to start wrapping up. Mm-hmm. But before we go, VRM, do you have anything to promote?
No.
All right. Jim, Jason, you guys argue over who's going to promote what.
Well, we're catching up on the backlog of shows from the month of May, and they're going up by the day here at Spectrum1.net. There are a bunch of ways you can listen to us, of course. TuneIn.com, the TuneIn Radio app. Help me out here, Jason.
Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, brand new spot at Google Play Music, Overcast, and of course at Spectrum1.net.
And iTunes, too. Yeah.
Yes, and iTunes, of course. Some of the shows we are promoting, of course, include Pixel Nation with Brian Henniger and myself. E3, by the way, coming up in a couple of weeks. WLTI, which we will be finishing due to power issues. No problem, Jim. No worries. We will finish that up. We're talking about finales and other things. And we also had a $100,000 winner this week on Wheel of Fortune, I believe, last night.
We also had a rare occurrence on Wheel of Fortune the other same night, too.
I have to check that out. I don't know what that was.
I'll just say we had an extra toss-up.
Oh, that's right, because we had a tie at the end. That is true. We're going to talk. We're going to talk politics, red state, blue state. We're going to talk a bunch of stuff there. BS big. Yes, as a matter of fact, today, supposedly, at the moment, Mr. Trump has enough delegates not to have a convention fight.
And he also had a fly in his hair.
Yes, exactly. Trump fly. Hashtag Trump fly. Hashtag Chewbacca mob. Yes. Yes. Just saying. I heart the Chewbacca mom, just to say.
Indeed.
You
mentioned Touch 'Em All. The episode hosted by DC Lundberg is up now. This weekend we'll get a new one out, and we have a lot to go over in baseball, both on and sadly off the field as well. So be listening for that.
Yes, and of course, Spec Riffs, Pay Per View, BS Big Show. Deflategate still isn't over. Oh my
what?
God!
It will never, ever, ever be over.
Yes, yes,
ooh.
Yes. Because what happened was a federal judge upheld the suspension, and Tom Brady is appealing. I kid you not.
You okay. Love it?
No, I don't. I really don't. Just
does the sports world have anything better to do? Like look into the new round of multi-millionaires they just made last month.
Oh, you mean the draft? Yeah, that
one. Yeah, them too.
Yeah, that one. Oh,
People are too busy getting ready for the soccer splooge fest of the next 2 months between UEFA Euro 2016 and Copa America.
Oh, that's right. World Cup is in 2018. That's right.
Season. Yeah.
Season, yeah, and the Olympics coming up in 2 months, yes.
Get your Zika! Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Stop that,
yes.
Well, I'm not wrong, though.
Yes, exactly. And all those shows. So, yeah. There you go.
All right. I wish I could give you more information about Paper Review, but that would be Chris Waters' department, and he's not here right now. In fact, he's probably in bed. And as of for this recording, we probably should do the same. So for Jim Williams, for Jason Block, for VRM, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do check in regularly. We will eventually get the rest of our technology straightened out, VRM. But until then, as Xavier Woods would put it, stay golden, Pony Boy.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.